ago, doctors visited the sick instead of the other way around. In our modern era of crowded waiting rooms, it's hard to believe there was ever another way. Pulse contributor and Drexel med student Avir Mitra decided to track down a physician who practiced during the era of the house call, and that search brought him all the way to a nursing home in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Okay, my name is Jonathan Warren, and I'm a retired internist living with his family in Easton.
Today I'm with Dr. Warren as he takes a break from volunteering at a busy nursing home.
So did you ever, when you were younger, did you ever used to make house calls, go to a patient's house?
Oh, yes. Yes, I used to make house calls. I used to go around and see people on my bicycle. And I had a dog, and I used to take my dog sometimes, too.
I asked Dr. Warren to describe his first house call.
I went to the woman's house. She had two daughters. They were both there. They said that she's eating very poorly and she's lost weight. Okay. So I go and examine her, and sure enough, I thought she was in heart failure. I had her lie down in bed, and I looked at her neck veins, and I looked at the swelling of her legs. And then when it was all over, they really appreciated just the fact that I went to the house. They said, Dr. Warren, we want you to sit now. We're going to give you a Lebanese lunch. And it was wonderful. That was the dream of the whole day.
Believe it or not, these type of interactions with your doctor used to be the norm. In 1930, 40% of physician visits were house calls. But by 1980, that number had dropped to 1%.
People liked it. It was interesting. And you get a sense about what their lives were like and what their homes were like.
If a patient had a rash and you saw bed bugs, well, there was your answer. If they offered you dinner, you might taste too much salt. Seeing the patient at home put their disease in the context of their environment. While seeing a patient in an office or hospital in some ways is like seeing a fish out of water.
At one point in time, it was really fun. Medicine was really fun. It's not as much fun anymore.
But as the power of modern medicine, the x-rays, the blood tests, the surgical procedures, all of it, grew exponentially, it only made sense to abandon the house call model in favor of a more efficient hospital-based system. After all, that's where the doctors actually had the tools to do things. But that special intimacy between doctor and patient was gone. Forever. Or maybe not. Recently, two medical students from Temple University won third place in a national competition sponsored by the Association of Medical Colleges, in which contestants were asked to make a video that would envision the medical innovations of tomorrow. Instead of imagining spaceships and alien medicine, they had an interesting vision. Here's Aaron Hickey.
Okay, so we were asked to make a video about the future of academic medicine. And one of the conversations we had in our meeting was, how can we be unique? How can we think outside the box?
So they imagined a future with house calls.
So we developed this house call video.
This is Nick Osavala, the other medical student.
And the way it worked was that a medical student and a resident sort of showed up at a patient's house.
She opens the door. She's excited to see them. She has had this relationship with them for a long time, and she trusts them. So they walk in. How are you? They sit down.
Good morning, Ms. Perez. Nice to see you.
They start talking about how she's feeling, you know, what's changed in her health since the last visit.
And then at that point, they beam in holographically an attending physician from the main university hospital.
From here, the team uses futuristic technology to read her blood work and send the data back to the hospital. The attending advises them remotely.
And then at that point, they just sort of beam them back out again, and the medical student and the resident sort of, you know, shook hands with the patient and were on their way to the next house.
Your idea about the future, it's kind of retro in a way.
Sure. But we wanted to bring the house call back because we thought it might be the best way to sort of tie in the technological advances in the next 20 and 30 years, but maintain that level of personal care that I think is the reason why we all decided to get into this in the first place.
But for now, their vision is just that, a vision. Yet maybe if we look closely, we can see the signs of a shift starting to take place. As the population gets older and frailer, and as hospital infection rates go up, there's a new incentive to bring healthcare back to the home. And believe it or not, house calls are happening right now in Philadelphia.
It's Dr. Kanosian.
This is Bruce Kanosian. He's a primary care doctor and associate professor of medicine at Penn.
and he makes house calls.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Mr. Singleton.
Dr. Kanosian let me tag along today as we visit James Singleton, a retired Army veteran who lives in West Philly. Last year, James had a stroke with multiple medical complications that left him bedbound. But thanks to a year of house calls from a multidisciplinary team, he's been steadily improving.
So what are you putting on this now?
We got right to business by asking James how he was feeling, getting vitals, and changing bandages. But the conversation soon veered into directions no regular office visit would ever take. We discussed the new ramp we saw on his porch. And when James complained of constipation, we took a look in his fridge and noticed a lot of dairy.
How would you feel with trying lactose-free ice cream and milk for a week?
All right. No problem. Okay.
We looked in his medicine cabinet.
You can see what medicines they have. You can also see all the other medicines that they have that they didn't bring in that you didn't know about.
Then Dr. Kanosian broke out his medicine bag, and what came out was anything but retro.
Pulse oximeter, glucometer. There are pocket ultrasound devices that, because of smart software, can double as an echocardiogram, as an abdominal ultrasound, as a Doppler looking for a blood clot in the leg. There's a blood analyzer.
Maybe the student's video wasn't pure science fiction after all.
You can pretty much be a walking emergency room with equipment you carry in your pockets.
Dr. Kanosian has James hold an iPhone, which has a case with metal leads on it. He opens an EKG app.
Yeah, blinking.
And it's measuring your heart.
Yeah.
So Mr. Singleton has a conduction problem. He has a right bundle branch block.
So we can see that all just by having his fingers on this iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Gives you a rhythm strip.
What do you think about that?
Amazed.
So here, you know, before I spoke to you, I thought this was something that was dying out.
No, there's actually a large demonstration in another part of the Affordable Care Act called Independence at Home that's ongoing.
Independence at Home is a little-known 3-year experiment, or demo, written into the Affordable Care Act. Its purpose is to beta test the house call as a way to deal with the 10% of Medicare patients who account for 2/3 of Medicare's expenditures. The theory is that for these high-cost patients, house calls might actually be more efficient, more effective, and ultimately cheaper.
Now it's in its second year of a 3-year demo.
And the early results are promising.
That it actually saved the Medicaid program about 25%. People live longer, and almost all of that life was spent out of nursing homes. Yeah, so it was one of those that saves money and gives people a higher quality of life, so it's sort of a general win-win.
In fact, 10 years of data from Kanosian's team were a big part of getting Independence at Home into the Affordable Care Act in the first place. It was their results with VA patients like James Singleton that convinced senators that a demo was warranted. Right now, the demo is limited to 10,000 patients. If, after 3 years, the results show overall savings for Medicare, that cap could be removed.
Well, no, I think that Independence Home is going to radically transform how healthcare gets delivered and gets paid for in this country. There's probably 1.5 million Medicare beneficiaries that are eligible for Independence at Home.
In other words, the house call might be coming back in a big way.
Well, no, I mean, this is like the natural place to do this. No, when Mr. Singleton was first home, it would have been really difficult getting him out of the house. Mm-hmm. See how he's walking now? He was stuck in the bed.
Here's Singleton's daughter.
I don't have to worry about finding two people to, you know, take the wheelchair down the steps, try to get it in the car, and get him in the car, and get him out the car once we get to the doctor's office. It's a smoother process.
And that, do you think that results in him getting better care or just more convenient?
Absolutely. Better care. It's better for people in his situation.
So I asked James.
I like this better. Beautiful. I love it. If it's hot outside, I can stay right in with the air conditioning. If it's cold, I can stay in with the heat. Yeah. Enjoy every bit of it.
For The Pulse, I'm Avir Mitra.